أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ قال موسى لفتاه لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي حقبا. In the previous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of the mushrikeen, the polytheists, and the rejecters, the deniers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned of how they requested that punishment should be shown to them, and how they wanted to witness miracles and signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the previous nations have witnessed. We move on to the third story in Surah Al-Kahf. We said that in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates to us four incidents and four stories. And time and again in the Quran, Allah reminds us that the objective of relating these stories and incidents is not for entertainment's sake, but there are lessons to be drawn, great lessons that are relevant and applicable to every one of us. So just to recap, the first story was the story of the people of the cave. And we said there, that story has to do with the test of faith, iman, and the challenges that come along with it. You and I as well, Allah has blessed us with iman, but there are challenges that come along the way. So we learn from those youngsters that when their iman was tested, when their deen was tested, when their religion was being threatened, then they made some adjustments to their lifestyles. And what an adjustment they made. They went right to another extreme, to the extent where they were prepared to give up everything for the sake of preserving their iman. So sometimes we are in an environment or we are in a situation where our iman is being threatened, and we are not freely allowed to practice our deen and our faith, and we need to make an adjustment. So that is your standard. Allah says, whenever you are in that type of a situation, in that type of a predicament, then look at Ashabul Kahf as the standard. Look at what they were prepared to do. Sometimes we're not even required to do that much and go to that extent. But that is your standard, and some adjustments must be made in order for you to preserve your iman. So that's the first test, and that was the test of iman and faith. The second test was that of wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of that person who was given abundant wealth, more wealth than anyone can ever imagine to have. But that wealth created within him a sense of haughtiness, superiority and pride. And he attributed his achievements to himself, and it made him look down at others in disdain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us what was the result of that. And when you look at all these, in essence, they are bounties. Iman is the greatest bounty that we can enjoy. But along with every bounty that Allah blesses you, there are tests and there are challenges that come along with that bounty. Wealth also is one of the greatest bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless us with. But along with that bounty comes challenges, there are tests, and there are trials. And Allah has related these incidents to us in order to teach us how to overcome those challenges and how to deal with those tests that come along with these bounties. The third great bounty is that of knowledge. The bounty of knowledge is also another great bounty. But along with this bounty also comes great challenges, and there are tests that a person must endure, and he will encounter certain challenges along the way. And that is what we learned from this fascinating story that had taken place. And in the story, you have three main characters. The one is Musa ibn Imran, Musa alayhi salam, the son of Imran. And then you have his attendant who accompanied him on this journey of his in order to seek knowledge. And that was Yusha ibn Nun, Yusha the son of Nun. Who was Yusha the son of Nun? Yusha, he was an attendant. He was not a Nabi. He was Musa alayhi salam's servant. And he was a young man, strong young man. And he was the son of Nun, who was the son of Ephraim. Ephraim was the son of Yusuf, according to one narration. So he was the great-grandson of Yusuf alayhi salam. We know that Yusuf alayhi salam, he came before Musa alayhi salam. So he had a son by the name of Ephraim from his wife Zulaykha. Ephraim had a son by the name of Nun, and Nun had a son by the name of Yusha. So he is your second character. And the third is, of course, Khadir alayhi salam. And we'll learn more of Khadir alayhi salam as we go through the incident, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained it to us in the Quran. The background of this incident, the background to why Musa alayhi salam had undertaken this journey is not mentioned in the Quran, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has related the entire incident to us. The incident is found in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari and also the Sahih of Imam Muslim rahimahumullah. Once Musa alayhi salam, he stood up amongst his people and he had an audience of the Banu Israel in front of him, and he was addressing them and he was advising them. And perhaps they were amazed at his knowledge and they were amazed at the advices that he was imparting to them. So someone in the congregation asked that, "Oh Musa, who is the most knowledgeable of all of human beings or all of Allah's creation that exists on earth at this present moment? Who is the most knowledgeable of them all?" Musa alayhi salam felt that he is the Nabi of Allah. He is receiving wahi from Allah Azza wa Jal. There is no one else who is enjoying that privilege, and no one else who is receiving direct knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one who is directly conversing with Allah, or so he thought. He used to directly, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Musa alayhi salam enjoyed a direct line over and over and over. Allah says, Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam directly. He heard Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would advise him and listen to him as he would converse with Allah Azza wa Jal. So Musa alayhi salam, considering all of this, he said that I am the most knowledgeable of all Allah's creation presently that exists on earth. Now, whenever a Nabi made a statement or perhaps did something that was maybe not in line with the status and the station of prophethood, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately would rectify what the Nabi had done, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would rectify the statement that he made, and there would be a grooming process that now followed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that point admonished Musa alayhi salam that, "Oh Musa, you were supposed to attribute knowledge to who? To Allah. When you were asked that who is the most knowledgeable of all people, you should have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I do not know who is the most knowledgeable of all creation." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then told Musa alayhi salam, "There is someone, one of my slaves and one of my servants, who lives on earth and who is more knowledgeable than you, O Musa alayhi salam." When Musa heard this, subhanallah, He immediately felt the need to go and sit at the feet of this person and drink of the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with. And that's the first thing we learn, that when we hear of somebody who is more knowledgeable than us, or somebody who possesses more ilm than us, then it should create within us an interest to go and learn. There must be that interest within a believer to always want to learn more and to always want to improve the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with. So immediately Musa alayhi salam says, "Oh Allah, I would like to meet the servant of yours. Where can I meet him?" Allah Azza wa Jal then said to Musa alayhi salam that you need to proceed and travel. And this is the first thing we learn when it comes to seeking of knowledge. Allah could have made Khadir come to Musa alayhi salam, but Musa is the student. And from this, the first point we learn, there are many etiquettes of knowledge or seeking knowledge that we learn from this incident, is you need to leave the environment of your home and travel. Rihla. And when you look at the lives of the muhaddithin and the fuqaha and the scholars, subhanallah, they travel. They travel for one hadith. If they knew that in this part of the land there's a muhaddith, there's a scholar of hadith who has heard a hadith from someone who heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they needed to hear it from that scholar in order to receive the hadith in that order, they would travel for days and months, and they would travel for one hadith. And through that traveling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up the doors of knowledge and understanding of deen to them. So that's the first thing we learn. When it comes to seeking knowledge, we should move and travel and take on the burdens and the challenges that come along with traveling. Through that sacrifice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up doors of knowledge for the seeker of knowledge. So Allah says you need to travel to the meeting point of the two oceans, Majma' al-Bahrain. Now we have one Majma' al-Bahrain in our own country, right? But there are many Majma' al-Bahrain. Majma' means the meeting point. Al-Bahrain, the two oceans. There are many around the world. And Rasulullah SAW has not identified it for us. He has not specified which Majma' al-Bahrain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him to meet Khadir alayhi salam at. But there are many around the world, and Mufassirin have elaborated and they have suggested certain locations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, carry along with you a dead fish in a basket. A dead fish in a basket, carry that along with you. When you meet or when you arrive at that point, because Musa alayhi salam never traveled in that direction, and it was the first time he was going to move along that route. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you come to that specified spot, life will come into that fish and it will enter into the ocean. At that point, that is where you are going to meet Khadir alayhi salam. So Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ. Musa said to his young man, Fatah, his attendant. From here, Mufassirin explained that it is important for us to address our servants and our attendants with respect. Fatah is a word of respect. Allah did not say, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِعَبْدِهِ. Musa said to his slave. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِخَادِمِهِ. Musa said to his servant, لِفَتَاهُ. Fatah. Fatah is a word of respect, a word of honor, a word of dignity. A young, strong man, even though he was the attendant and he was there serving Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the expression Fatah. Remember when Musa said to his Fatah, he said to his young man, that is Yusha, the son of Nun, La Abrah, I will not give up, Hatta Ablugha Majma' al-Bahrain, until I reach the meeting point of the two oceans, Aw Amdiya Huqba, or I will continue walking for years on end. I'm prepared to travel for as long as it takes, and I will not give up until I arrive at that specified location. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَا مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the two of them reached that point, when they reached the meeting of the two oceans, نَسِيَا حُوتَهُمَا, both of them forgot the حُوت. حُوت refers to a fish, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, both of them forgot about the fish. فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا. The fish made its way, miraculously, Allah says, it made سَبِيلَهُ its way into the ocean, سَرَبًا, forming a tunnel. What happened? When they reached a certain point, Musa alayhi salam wanted to take rest. And he didn't realize that that was the point where they were to meet Khadir alayhi salam. So he went to sleep. While he was asleep, Yusha, the son of Nun, was awake and he was guarding the basket. What happened? The fish came alive and it slipped away into the ocean. The basket was probably next to the water, and it slipped into the ocean, and he saw this, but he did not want to wake Musa up alayhi salam from his sleep. Sometimes many people are very sensitive about that siesta nap. Nobody wants to be interfered when they are taking that afternoon nap. It means a lot to them. So, and we all know the temperament of Musa alayhi salam. So he was fearful to wake Musa alayhi salam up at that time. And he says, when Musa alayhi salam gets up, I will inform him. And Allah says, now the word I want to is Saraba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it made its way into the ocean, creating a tunnel. Allah allowed the water or the current wherein the fish had traveled, Allah allowed it to sort of freeze. And that part of the ocean was made to stop flowing. So the current there was sort of stopped, and the fish remained like that in that area, and it sort of formed like a tunnel at that point. And that's how it remained, and according to some of us, right up to this day, it remains like that. And there's a spring over there which is known as the spring of life, Ainul Hayat. So that's a separate issue. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is what happened, and the fish remained there in this tunnel that was formed. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَا They continued traveling. He forgot to tell Musa alayhi salam. When Musa alayhi salam woke up from his sleep, forgot to tell Musa alayhi salam of this miracle that he witnessed with his own eyes. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they continued traveling, and when they passed that point and went on, قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ One whole day and one whole night they traveled. For another whole day and whole night. So you can imagine how far away they were from that point. So قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ Eventually after another 24 hours of travel, he said to his young man, أَتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا Give us our morning meal. Give us our morning meal. Bring that basket so that we may eat of the meal that is within the basket. لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا We have certainly encountered a lot of fatigue during this journey of ours. Another demand of seeking knowledge is there will be fatigue, there will be struggle, there will be hunger, there will be tiredness, there will be sleeplessness. This is one of the demands of knowledge and seeking knowledge. So he says, give us our meal. We have indeed encountered a lot of exhaustion during this journey. قَالْ This is when Yusha said, أَرَأَيْتَ إِذْ أَوَيْنَا إِلَى السَّخْرَةِ Oh Musa, do you remember when we took rest at the Sakhra, at the boulder? There was a huge boulder where they had taken rest and where Musa a.s. had fallen off to sleep. فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتِ That is where I forgot the fish. وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهِ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانِ And he quickly said to Musa, Shaitan is the one who made me forget. Don't reprimand me, don't scold me, don't rebuke me, but only Shaitan caused me to forget about the fish and adhkura, that I should mention it to you. وَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ عَجَبًا And oh Musa, amazingly and astonishingly, this fish had made its way into the ocean. قَالَ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِي Musa said, that's exactly what we were looking for. That's where we were supposed to find Khadir. فَرْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they returned. They went back tracing their footsteps all the way back until they arrived at that point. May Allah grant us the understanding.